Hey, podcasters, Clazy, Matt and Kimber from The Big Breakfast here.
On today's catch-up, UK comedian and star Russell Howard.
Funny guy. From the mixed mailbag, should Jake tell his girlfriend her weight is a turn-off?
Ooh. Wildcat skipper Damian Martin ahead of the grand final.
And Kimber got yelled at by a kid. I want to give him a McFlurry.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clazy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5. The Big Breakfast catch-up is for Dale Alcock. Talking basketball with Damian Martin from the Perth Wildcats.
Game 3 eve. We're talking about the playoffs. Here he is, number 53, Damian Martin. G'day, Skipper. How are you?
I'm good. Actually, I'm a little fatigued walking up these stairs.
Sorry,
three
dude.
Flights, no elevator. Oh,
the elevator's being repaired here at work, and so we're all working on our glutes. It's a 12-week bum program here at Mix 94.5.
I was wondering why DC was turned around flexing a little. I was like, okay, I see what's going on there.
Doing some stretching. But we have organised because the club are worried about your legs, mate. So we've organised for you to abseil down. So,
appreciate that. Yeah, thank okay. you.
Also, if you're not fit enough to get up the stairs, what chance do the rest of us have?
I saw the guys with the paint holding two tins carrying up and they were not happy, so I guess I can't complain.
Well, we're used to you being inside the paint, mate. Game two of a grand final series, and you, just as we're coming back and we're 7 points down in the last quarter, and then you get Casper Wehren and Chris Golding both getting long bombs for three. It breaks your heart, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was a turning moment in the game. So we were making a run, I think it was a 6-0 run, yeah. And then when things were starting to turn our way, Golding hits a big three, they get a stop, come down, Casper hits a big three, it's 13 points, and the rest is history, but it just means we get to play a few more games. So yep. Starting tomorrow, game three here at REC Arena.
Well, Damo, an article that I read said, the Wildcats cop Trevor Gleeson's wrath after loss to Melbourne United. Now, what does the wrath of Trevor Gleeson feel like?
Look, to be honest, that grand final beard he's growing is worse than the wrath he gave us. Than
looks pretty prickly.
It does. It's a very low neckline he's got. So for his beard, it's down to his chest. It all connects. Anyway, as for the spray, it wasn't too bad. I mean, you don't want to go off a box score to dictate the overall score. But when we looked at the box score and it showed that they out-rebound us by about 13 or 14, our deflections were low. All those things that indicate energy and effort weren't quite there, which was disappointing. But, you know, Melbourne on their home court, down 1-0. The credit to them, played some good basketball and were too good on the day, but we're disappointed with our performance.
Yeah, it is fascinating to see when the oxygen goes out of a game like that, the last quarter, how big the game is. You could see them in the crowd in Melbourne were going nuts. But you look at the difference on the benches and the faces tell the story, don't they?
Yeah, you could. It's probably a clear indication of who was winning by double figures and who was down, trying to save some bit of respect. So, no, it was very disappointing, particularly that third quarter. You know, it was only a one-point game going into the halftime. We came out, missed some shots. They got into the fast break. And Mitch McCarron in particular was great for them. And DJ Kennedy. All the talk's been about Casper Ware and Chris Golding. Yeah. But it's been those other two that have hurt us.
Yeah. Well, Gleeson just said that there wasn't enough desire to get the ball. And I was wondering if you would like me to bring my dog McGruff down. Because he doesn't take his eye off the thing.
No, he doesn't.
If you guys want him on the court, he'll get in there and, you know, train you up.
Some people bring in, you know, guys like Justin Langer or Gilchrist for motivational
for
talks.
The chat?
No, let's bring in McGruffy, was it?
McGruff.
Let's bring in McGruff.
Mate, how are you feeling now? Obviously, you've got to turn it around. It's a quick turnaround time for game three. How's the squad?
No, everyone feels good physically. Yep. Just excited to get out there. Feels like the longest time between games. I know it's only 5 days, but I dare say everyone would have much loved having, you know, game on, day off, game on, day off. But, you know, we'll play tomorrow night. Hopefully get it done this weekend so we don't have to wait another 5 days to close it out in game five.
Yeah, because it was only 30-something hours between game one and two, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And, you know, because it's the finals, I think that it's amazing what the mind can do. No, it's a grand final. I feel great.
Yeah,
if exactly. It was middle of the season and we're away for Christmas, it's a horrible schedule. But right now, we just want it to be over and be out on the court.
Well, and we want the Red Army there tomorrow to support you too so that we can get this done sooner rather than later.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm supposed to be a wedding celebrant in 2 weeks' time. Oh. So the couple aren't happy. They're like, make sure it doesn't go to game
really?
Five. Yeah, so there's a little bit of pressure.
Added pressure
to close it out this weekend.
Well, if you stick around, we would love to get people to call us now, 133 533, to motivate Mardo.
As if you need the champ needs motivation. But
I'm a little flat. I love it.
We've got some grand final tickets to give away. Yeah. And so we thought, well, if they can call up and give you a bit of a pep talk, bit of a coach spray there, a bit of a, you know, that we could give them some tickets to go to the game.
We can't see if they've got a horrible beard, but, you know, they can motivate you anyway.
Mum does it every week. She says, just pass the ball to Bryce. Thanks, Mum.
Give it to Cotton every time. Love it.
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
Damian Martin from the Wildcats ahead of Game 3 of the NBL Grand Final. And we thought we'd utilise the people who love you, Damo, the people of Perth, to give us a call on 133353 and get you motivated this morning for Game 3.
Yep, taking on Melbourne United tomorrow, but he needs a bit of a pep talk. Kerry in Southlake. How you going, Kerry?
I'm great, thank you.
Kerry, Damo's here. He's ready
I'm
for
excited.
His pep talk.
Pump him up.
Okay, Damo, my grandchildren are at your game every single game. They're on the TV when you watch, they're watching you all the time, and their dream is for the Wildcats to bring it home.
So win it for the grandkids.
Don't crush their dreams.
The poor little things.
The old guilt treatment.
No.
Isabel and Justin Parker are out there for you.
There you go.
Isabel and Justin.
I like that.
No
That's
pressure, mate.
You know, it's not all beer and sunshine and Skittles when it's a coaching thing, is it, Kerry? You got to be firm.
You've got to kick them where it hurts and get them up there.
We spoke about the wrath of our head coach. Don't worry about it. It's got nothing to do with the wrath on a grandparent. Don't disappoint Kerry.
Exactly right. All right. Hold the line, Kerry. Very motivational.
What do you think Casper will think of that if you kick him where it hurts?
Quite terrifying. Henry in High Wycombe. G'day, Henry.
Good morning. How are you guys going?
Good, mate. Got Damien Martin here. And he wants a little motivation message. What do you got?
Damien, my family is a hardcore rugby mad family. My son's played rugby for 4 years. He's 10 years old now. He came home from school one day and said he wanted to play basketball. And we found out the Wildcats had gone to his school and he's after a basketball hoop for Christmas. And we watch your games on TV all the time. He thinks you're an absolute nutter. He's a real good rugby player, but now he's playing b-ball because of you, mate.
Love it.
I'm hoping that you guys get up for his sake, and hopefully we can get along and come and watch you play live one day, mate. So all the best.
All right. I love that these motivational speeches do come with a small threat, don't they? Both of them are kind of like you're going to break children's dreams if you don't.
They've brought their kids into it. Oh,
Damo, it's up to you. I mean, who did you feel motivated you the most? Was it Kerry from Southlake?
Or Henry, who called you a nutter?
I think his son thinks I'm a nutter.
He did, yeah.
Oh, look, I was a rugby convert to basketball, so I probably relate more to Henry. The threat of a grandparent, it breaks my heart. So you're going to make me decide, aren't you?
It's a tough one. You've got to decide.
Oh, it is tough, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like Kerry's going to still support with her grandkids, so I'm going to go ahead and give it to Henry so he can bring his son along to his first game.
Oh, Henry.
Henry,
hey.
You're going to the game.
That's awesome. Awesome.
No, that's awesome. He's converted from rugby. We're to keep him with the round ball opposed to the football.
Yeah,
so, come along. Have a great time. But I might need you sound like you can handle yourself. I might need you as a bodyguard after the game in case Kerry and the kids come through.
No problem at all. Thank you very much.
Good. Henry, you got the doubles, mate. Well done. Perth Wildcats and Melbourne United. Game 3 of the NBL Grand Final Series at Perth Arena tomorrow night. Tickets still available from Ticketek. And you've won them. Well done, buddy.
Great, thank you very much, guys.
Mate. And I think there's a nana out there who's not really happy.
But thanks, Kerry. I still think it was motivational. But Damo, you and the boys, have a great game. Have fun out there. That's part of it, right?
It is about having fun. And Kerry, just know, even though I couldn't get you the free tickets, we're doing this for your grandkids.
Do it! Woo!
Excellent. Oh, I just want you guys to win the final series so the coach can have a shave, get the thing off his neck. Damien Martin.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Legendary British comedian Russell Howard is making his way back to Australia. Look, we love Russell and it does say that on the sheet, which is a good thing. But he is coming back, of course. The incredible Netflix special Recalibrate, the Russell Howard Hour, got over 127 million views.
That's great.
The man has gone into the stratosphere in the comedy world. He's back in July to play in Perth. Tickets through Live Nation, available now, playing the Riverside Theatre. Russell, welcome, mate. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you? That's July next year, I should point out. That isn't this July.
July next year. Great.
July 2020.
Wow. We are planning ahead.
And I certainly am.
Russell, 2020, God knows what world we'll have in 2020. I mean, you've got Brexit going on. We've got Trump's America. We're about to have an election where basically, you know, some poor bloody refugees on an island 2,000 kilometres away are going to be what makes people vote, which seems incredible. Yeah. I mean, is democracy dead?
Well, the problem, it strikes me, the world over, the right are too right and the left are too left. Mm. And there's no space for nuance anymore. Like, there are so many issues that aren't being dealt with.
Yes.
And I'm an optimist, so hopefully it'll all work out and we'll have a bad moment and then we'll kind of get better.
Mate, I can't believe there was a PR or marketing person that told Theresa May that the dancing thing was funny, she should keep doing it. But do you find her funny, or are you a bit over her now?
Oh, I'm well over her, yeah. What I find incredible about Theresa May is that she's put Brexit back and back and back because she knows she won't get it through Parliament.
Mm.
She's the only person that can do that. Nobody else. I can't postpone arguments. Like, I can't yes. I can't come home drunk and turn to my girlfriend and go, we will discuss this in July. There was a moment, she's so alien to us, the British. That's what's so peculiar, that our leader, I mean, she had to be taught how to play pool by the Italian Prime Minister. I'm not sure if you saw this.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, she was caught on camera going, I don't know how to do this. How does one play pool? And I thought it was a real opportunity missed, where the Italian PM should have told her just to put one of the balls in her mouth and then kind of just walk around the table, drop it in the hole, and then go, do, 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 do.
Like a dog.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been the opportunity. But I think it's the same over here, though, where you have the Australian MP that's made it to the UK is a guy called Bob Catter.
Oh, yes.
And I would argue...
Sorry.
But yeah, exactly. But I would argue that Catter doesn't represent Australians.
No.
And
no.
Yet, that's what's so frustrating. There's so many politicians the world over that don't represent us and don't speak for us. And yet somehow Trump speaks for Americans, or Bob Catter, to the rest of the world, obviously is not the case, but speaks for Australians. That's the absurdity. You know, like, people in England can dance. And yet Theresa is making it look like we can't. Jesus.
Hanko.
I can't. I'll be honest with you. It's not my skill.
No, you're right, man. The level of conversation has just been lost to the two extremes. We see it, you know, you see it certainly with comedians. You know, you say anything that's remotely controversial.
Yeah.
And people will try and end your career on it.
Well, that's what I find really fascinating, that you, like, as a comic, everything is taken literally.
Yes.
And yet, something like, I'm very envious of, like, sort of R&B, that you can literally just kind of, I'm at you in the club, baby, suck my nuts.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually about, it's about space travel, is it?
Mate, we've got an election campaign coming up very, very soon. So the Prime Minister...
Who's going to win?
I don't know. Prime Minister everyone calls ScoMo, and we've got a guy who can't eat a sausage sizzle the right way, who's the opposition leader. So, you know, give us hope.
What's a sausage sizzle?
Like a hot dog, like an Aussie version of a hot dog that that people devour at Bunnings hardware stores.
It's our gift to world cuisine.
Pretty
it's
much.
A sausage with a piece of white bread. You slap it, you do it diagonally, so you get the full angle of bread that you need for the sausage.
Yeah.
Bit of sauce, bit of mustard, maybe a bit of onion.
But this is why I love this country.
Yep.
So let me get this straight. So people go to a hardware shop and they eat sausage sandwiches.
Yes.
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 I love that. But it's just like, does that exist anywhere else? Like, I wouldn't go to Tesco in the UK and just rock up and go, just eat pasta in the car park.
Well, I mean, we can't wait to have you back out here.
Brilliant. I can't wait to come. I'll see you in a year and a half time.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
It is, of course, the Big Breakfast here. Of course, with our good friends Dale Alcock involved as well.
Yeah, thanks to the guys at Dale Alcock. Can't do the show without you. And they've got their Advantage series from under 200K and with over 20K worth of bonus inclusions. And Clancy, I mentioned to you that includes those self-closing drawers and cupboards in the kitchen.
You love those, don't you?
You don't know how good they are until you've got them, is what I'm saying.
Smooth as silk. Look, you might be thinking about developing your block. A lot of people thinking about that with land. That can help to set you up later on. You can profit more and stress less with developments by Dale Alcock.
Yeah, dalealcock.com.au.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
Time for a little segment that goes like this.
You've got mail.
Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
You've got some mail.
Yeah, it's the Mix Mailbag. Give you the chance to write in and tell us about something that's going on and see if we and the people who listen to the show, the Big Breakfast here at Mix 94.5, can help you out.
Yeah, you can contact us at mix.com.au and or on our Mix Facebook page and just give us your problems and we put it to the people of Perth to fix it for you.
Yeah, I mean, it may come through on email or whatever, but it feels like old school letters coming in, which
they
is great.
Are.
So we got one here from Jake from Kingsley. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Jake said, hi, Big Breakfast. I have a problem that I'm embarrassed to ask.
Oh, but we're your people then.
Yeah, true.
Bring it to us.
We're always embarrassed ourselves. But it's affecting my relationship a heck of a lot.
Oh.
So Jake goes on to say, since I met my partner 5 years ago, she's put on around 15 kilograms and I find myself less attracted to her.
Oh, dear.
I take it Jake's not, or Kingsley are not the real name in Sunday.
They never are.
Trouble. I'm seeing red flags. It's causing problems with a lack of action in the bedroom, and I feel that if something isn't done, it could affect us long term.
Mm-hmm.
It's not causing us problems in the bedroom. Well, it's not just causing problems in the bedroom, but the mental state of both of them is being affected, and obviously the relationship as a whole. So Jake's question is, how do I tell her that the weight is the real issue? And, of course, we're having the dry spell in the bedroom. So how does he go about dealing with this one? What do you reckon, Kimber?
Oh, Jake. Look, this is a tough one, and I think this comes up in many relationships. You hit that point where you might feel a bit comfortable, maybe, and you've eaten too many pies together. Communication is the key.
Okay.
I always think that, well, for me personally, if I gain weight, I normally feel a bit rubbish, but I know about it. There's no elephant in the room apart from...
apart from yourself. For want of a better phrase.
Yeah. But, you know, like, I know, so it's not really a secret. And so sometimes it's like, it's okay to tell your partner that because, you know, maybe she actually needs a little helping hand and maybe if, you know, if it's out in the open, then you can both talk about it and get over it.
Okay.
Because it's worse if you know that that's, you know, if you're pretending that's not happening, then you're just going to end up losing the relationship over lack of communication, which doesn't seem right.
This is a really tricky one, isn't it, to try and deal with if that's really the issue that's kicking in there.
Yeah, but I always feel like you should, you can still make your partner feel loved and supported while you're approaching the tough stuff. Like, you know, you could exercise together maybe or make better choices eating at home and maybe that's enough to
so
do.
So maybe more subtly steer a certain direction with lifestyle.
Perhaps.
Okay.
Perhaps.
This is hard to approach as a man to make a comment here, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, don't wait for the does my bum look big in this and say, well, actually, now that you've brought it up.
Yeah, like, we've all heard it and it sounds like it's too late for Jake.
Yeah.
Jake, you shallow sod.
Oh, do you think it's shallow?
Look in your eyes. What was the thing that attracted you in the first place? Was it her body, purely?
Yeah.
Try and work on romantic dates and that kind of stuff, because it sounds like Jake's got a bigger problem than the partner.
You're so sweet, Clazy.
Well, I'm just telling you I'm not just playing safe. Oh, that's what I'm thinking is actually the issue here. Is it's more Jake's problem than his partner's problem.
You're a good man. That's the thing. That's part of attitude. I'm gonna own it and say, I get it. When I've put on a bit of weight, I also don't feel as sexy. And so I kind of think it's a real thing. And I think it's fair to say it. But let's put it out there. 1-333-553.
Yeah, we're no experts.
Yeah. How should Jake tell his girlfriend that her weight is, I guess, just it's turning him off?
It's weighing on his mind.
1-333-53. How should Jake tell his girlfriend that her weight is turning him off?
See if you can help Jake out here this morning on the Mix mailbag at Mix 94.5.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt, and Kimber.
You've got mail.
Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
You've got some mail.
The incoming mail this week from Jacob Kingsley, who said since he met his partner 5 years ago, she's put on around 15 kilos and he's finding her less attractive. It's affecting their relationship as a whole and the action levels in the bedroom. He wants to know what he can do about it.
Yeah, he doesn't know if he should tell her that her weight is the real reason they're having a dry spell in the bedroom. Jody's in Cardinia. Jody, what do you think? What should Jake do about this?
He should zip it. This is a no-win situation. If he says something, she feels bad enough anyway.
Yep.
And if he says something, it's a no-win situation for Jake. And I hope he has changed his name for this email because if she hears this, she's going to know it's him and he's toast.
We normally suspect that most people aren't giving us their real name and suburb.
Safe to say it's a pseudonym.
But Jody, do you think, you know, he's saying this is affecting their relationship. They're not being sexual together anymore. He's feeling uncomfortable about it. This could cost them the relationship if he doesn't say something.
Well, she feels bad enough as it is, and normally subtlety, I mean, I'm not saying all men are like this, but normally subtlety from a bloke is just like, you know, tapping lightly a tack into a piece of wood, but with a sledgehammer.
Yeah, like a bull in a china shop, Jodie.
Right. Doesn't work.
Oh, okay, so you think he should just stay silent, even if that means the relationship might just kind of fade away?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yep. Okay, Joe. No, we appreciate
your
point of view.
Communication. I reckon you've got to be able to have these chats. If you can't have the tough chats with your partner, then what can you do?
Unless they're happy to have a lovely or sexless relationship, then it's doomed.
Yeah, it's doomed.
If you don't say anything.
Imagine if you found out that was the reason you lost it.
Yeah.
Kerry's in Beachborough. Kerry, what should Jake do in this situation?
Well, the problem is that he's not communicating with her, but the other side of the coin is that she may be feeling like rejected.
Okay.
So she's emotionally eating.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay, she's taking that tack, okay, to try and deal with it.
If he's not coming up and giving her a cuddle or whatever she's supposed to be doing, you know, she's going to feel rejected. So he's going to end up sort of causing the problem more so than actually fixing the problem.
So, what do you think he could do then, Kerry?
Well, take her out for dinner or, you know, make it something special in a sense and just say, you know, I don't feel as attracted as before. I need to talk to you sort of thing and be very open about it, very honest about it, because if it's just a superficial, you're getting fat, then there's no point keeping the relationship going. But if he's really invested in the love of his life, but he's finding difficulties, then he's going to have to actually, you know, bite the bullet and say something.
Yeah, and they've been together 5 years, he says. So, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't want to throw away a relationship if it's just a case of not communicating that one thing, but just be gentle.
Not. Yeah, and be careful with that. Be careful with the choice of dinner if you're taking her out for dinner. After salad.
So cheeky.
Hold on.
Thanks, Kerry.
Be as honest as possible, you know?
But, yeah, okay.
You know, explain that he really loves her and things like that, you know?
Well, I think of it like this, Kerry. You know, if your partner had bad breath and it stopped you from kissing them, wouldn't you think that at some point you've got to say, hey,
halitosis.
The reason I'm not kissing you is because there's something going on with your breath. You've got to bring it up gently. You've got to be... But if you don't bring it up, you're just going to stop kissing them and then that's going to end and then, you know, you're never going to really know what went wrong in the relationship.
Yeah,
exactly. You don't say, oh, for God's sake, you stink.
It's a sensitive issue, but it doesn't mean you can avoid it.
Yeah. He needs to do that too, because she might be feeling it just as much as he's feeling it.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks, Kerry. We appreciate Kerry Beachborough there having her say. Well done.
Oh, well, good luck, Jake from Kingsley, if that is your real name.
John just called and said, can you reword the line dry spell in the bedroom, please? No worries, mate. We'll do that next time.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Cool.
The Juice.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
It's the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' Abbey Road album.
Sensational.
It is such a great album, and some of Australia's most respected musicians and members of iconic groups who are collectively known as ARC, which is the Antipodean Rock and Roll Collective.
Hey, beautiful.
And that's comprised of Cram from Spiderbait, Mark Wilson from Jet, Davey Lane from UMI and Daryl Middleton from Powderfinger.
Nice combo.
So it's quite a great rock combo there, and they are going to be performing Abbey Road in full from start to finish, followed by a whole second set comprising of a selection of their favourite Beatles hits. Now, these guys are all Beatles tragics, and they can't wait to recreate it. And the boys have jammed together before when they covered ACDC's High Voltage.
Here they are. Hey. There's a rocking band right there.
Oh, and I mean, you know, we've talked before when we went and saw the guys do the White Album, different group of performers.
Absolutely.
But when they put that together, I mean, it's just such a great opportunity to see wonderful albums live.
Yeah, very nice.
And Abbey Road was so successful. It spent 81 weeks on the UK charts, 12 weeks at number one on the Billboard chart, and was certified 12 times platinum. And it sold an excess of 31 million copies.
Yeah, and you just think of how versatile they were as well. When you go from something as cool as this, you know, come together to George Harrison's Something, which is this beautiful ballad.
Beautiful song. I love it. But it's going to be on a fantastic venue too, Perth Concert Hall, Sunday, August 11. Tickets are on sale from 10 a.m. on Monday, March 18, and that's through livenation.com.au.
Oh, cool. So, I'll bring Maxwell Silverhammer with me.
Yes. It's a great song. I love that. Yeah. Now, also, Oscar-winning actress Natalie Portman. She has appeared in more than 40 films, starting at the age of 10 in, remember that film, The Professional?
Oh, that's right.
She was only 10
she was a kid,
in that. I mean, she's a fantastic actor, and now she is sharing her various approaches to acting by launching her first ever online acting class.
Oh, good on her.
I have not been to a traditional drama school. I've been working for 25 years, and I learned by doing, and I pieced together different things that are helpful for me that I want to share with you.
$90 for unlimited access to Natalie Portman's online acting class.
Okay.
It's her various approaches to acting, how to build a character, how she researches characters for historical and fictional roles, even talks about defining the voice for different roles. So how to work with a director. So if you're into your acting and you want to see something like that, $90, and you can check that out at masterclass.com.
Oh, I should teach you that black swan face. It'll be a beauty.
Oh, yeah, she's love great it. In that. Now, prepare yourselves for the Tangerine Orange Tans. Bachelor in Paradise Season 2 is returning to 10.
Hey!
Now, big ones on this one this season. This is when they take previous people from the previous love shows of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette where it didn't work out.
Sure.
And say, come back and have another crack.
Yeah, and some guy from America is on it as well, apparently.
Yes, for the US Bachelor, he'll be here. Now, yeah. Richie and Alex are the main ones that are going to be in this season. You remember Richie?
Mm.
Coming down this adventure, Alex, I was told to follow my heart, and following my heart has led me to you. I love you, Alex.
Richie is the Perth ropes bloke.
Yes. Yeah. Turns out he loved her for 5 minutes. And so Richie and Alex are both on this season trying to find other romances. So that's going to be awkward because they'll be able to tell other people's stories about one another.
Last week, the wife got her hair done, Craig. And guess who got his hair done on the same day in the same salon?
Richie.
All
right. Well, look, in terms of the women on the show, 7 of the 9 of them are from Nick Cummins' season.
Okay.
From the Honey Badger. So maybe the producers feel bad that they put her in there.
That they got the badger.
Yeah. And, you'll see Brooke in there too, the WA rugby player who made it to the end in Nick's season.
Right.
In terms of the Bachelors, look, they're not very memorable. Bill from Ali's season, Nathan and Patty also from Ali, and Richie's the big one, and of course this guy Alex from The Bachelorette in the US. But
okay. It
is coming soon, Bachelor in Paradise, and that will be on Channel 10, and that is your Daily Juice.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Why are you still shaking your head? You've been doing this for 2 days.
Nearly got into a fight yesterday.
Kimber.
Nearly got into a fight. I was walking McGruff just in the suburban streets, and the street had no footpath. It was just in the local, you know, area. And I got to a road with no footpath.
And he's a big, tough, threatening dog too, isn't he?
So he's a tiny little black fluff ball. It looks like I'm walking a cushion on a lead.
You'd fit him in your pencil case, pretty much.
Right. And when the street's got no footpath, I walk on the road and I make McGruff walk on the grass.
Okay.
You know, because I'm like safety first, right? I don't want him on the street.
Sure.
And I'm strolling along and then I see this 8-year-old. I'm picking him as 8, right? Sure. He's a young boy.
Okay.
See this 8-year-old boy feverishly riding his bike towards me down the street, yelling out something.
Right.
And so the first thing as he got closer is I went, is everything okay? Because I thought, you know, this kid could be riding, freaking out because his friend's had an accident at the park.
Or someone's chasing him.
You know, so I said, is everything okay? And just thought he was trying to get my attention. And he got closer and he says to me, you're walking on my garden. I said,
oh, really?
I said, excuse me?
Yeah.
And he said, you're walking on my lawn. That's my house.
Yeah.
And so like the mature adult that I am, I went, so?
Great comeback.
What a comeback. I added this to an 8-year-old kid. So?
Yeah.
And he said, well, can you not walk on my lawn? I don't want you to walk on my lawn.
Jeez, you've been well trained by mum and dad.
How weird's this? I'm like, this kid's all of 8 years old and he's telling me I'm not allowed to walk on his lawn. And so I respond. I guess I didn't even know what to say. I responded with, firstly, we're just walking past.
Yep.
It's just walking.
Yep.
And secondly, it ain't your lawn, kiddo. It's the council's.
Hey, because right? It was on the verge, right?
But like, why am I justifying myself to an 8-year-old kid? And also, what are his parents modelling to him? If the fact that he rode down the street because he saw me on his lawn.
And wanted to tell you off.
And wanted to tell me off.
It could be his only chore to look after the lawn, perhaps.
You reckon?
Yeah.
It was rubbish lawn anyway, nothing special. But I thought, I just felt so immature that in a second I was back to this. So, well, whatever.
You had me at so.
My dad's a police officer. Yeah. They were.
What was the issue, though? Were you wearing your Sam Kelly soccer boots or something?
No, I wasn't.
Sam Kerr, rather?
And it was only the dog walking on the lawn.
Right.
I'm walking on the road. It's like McGruff weighs all of 4 kilos, kid. Yeah. Back off.
There you go.
Stupid. Just stupid.
You watch where you walk in future.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist.
Nice clapping, Paul.
She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
I thought it sounded a bit sluggish, that clapping.
Now, look, Jen's missed this story, but, you know, maybe she didn't realise how important it was.
Right.
Now, Clancy, have your kids ever, like, really let you down? The kind of thing where you'll say, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
I'm trying to think. 2 kids, 21 and 18. Oh, yeah, I've got one.
Yep.
The day my boy said, Dad, I really want you to come and see the Backstreet Boys with me. And I went, oh, now I've got an issue. But we went and we had fun.
Oh, well then, look, you can probably relate to this story then. A mother in China reportedly abandoned her 12-year-old son in the middle of a busy street in China, in the city. And police officers found this boy just wandering the streets because passers-by had seen a woman stop her car in the area, pull the boy out of the car, scold him, and then drove away, leaving him there by himself.
Oh, that's, how old? 12.
12.
Okay. Yeah, that's
and the
young.
Police thought, oh, this is a bit dodgy. So the police go down there and they approach the boy and they have a chat with him and they take him to the station and they call his mum and they say, look, you've got to come pick him up. He's here and you've got to come get him.
Right.
And the mother says to the police, I don't want him back.
Oh, really? Disowned?
I do not want him back. And she said, I will not come and get him even if you threaten to charge me.
So he's obviously done something pretty bad.
Well, you'd think so. Yeah. Something really awful, right? Because she's saying, I don't care. You can arrest me. I couldn't care less. I'm not coming to pick him up.
Okay.
You know what he's done?
I have no idea.
The reason she dumped her son in the street was because the 12-year-old, he only got 81 in an exam.
Oh, dear. Only 81.
Only 81.
Oh, no.
He got 81 in an exam, and she says, that is ridiculous, worth disowning him, left him in the street, scolded him and said, not taking him back.
I wouldn't get 81 if I was Felicity Huffman and that other chick from Los Angeles.
I remember getting 81, actually, the exact score of 81 in a Great Gatsby exam.
That's incredible.
In English.
81.
And I loved that because I never read the book. I watched the movie wrote the essay on that, and I did well.
Wow.
81. So she dumped him.
She's dropped the 12-year-old, I reckon if I'd gotten 81 in anything when in my days at Greenwood, Mum would have bought me a car.
Yeah, I thought 81 was a high distinction.
That's a beauty. That's an A.
So we don't actually know whether the cops had to dump him back at home. And look, I guess he's never going to make that mistake again, poor kid.
Yeah, chasing perfection's perfection
there. Oh, awful.
Can't believe Jen missed that story. It's amazing, isn't it?
When was the last time you got 81 in something, Captain Paul?
I got 100%, would you believe, in meteorology when I was studying aviation because I loved the subject so much that I studied my little butt off. It's the first time and only time I've ever got 100%.
That doesn't explain why you just called it meteorology, though.
Call it meteorology. I thought you were saying endometriosis.
Meteorology.
Porosis.
Studying weather.
That Big Breakfast catch-up was for Dale Alcock. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.